You're listening to Trucking with Authority with Kenny Long. Now is the best time in a long time to take the leap and become a motor carrier. We'll dispel the rumors, teach you how to avoid the scams, take your questions, and give you the tools you need to get your own authority and get the success you deserve. Let's head down the audio road and start Trucking with Authority.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Trucking with Authority. August 23rd, 2016. I am back. It's been a couple of weeks, but here I am. We've got a great show lined up for you today. It's all about negotiation. We did negotiation 3 weeks ago, I suppose, was the last time I was on the air. I missed a couple of weeks here in a row. I've been out on the road myself, trucking it up. And I know I couldn't finish it all then. Negotiation can take weeks of classroom time and sitting down and practicing, and I had an hour and a half last week. I didn't get to it all, so I said I'd carry it over to the next show, and here we are. We're streaming live on Facebook as well. You can check us out at the Trucking with Authority Facebook page. You can also find this show and all the other shows, the past recorded shows as well as the future shows, at letstruck.com. Click on the link to the audio road. You'll find all the shows there in audio form. And again, we're streaming live here on Facebook. Check us out. We have a lot of people already on the line, which is great. If you're watching here on Facebook, go ahead and call in to the podcast. It's 646-668-2277. I've got so much going on here that I can really only take the phone calls. I'll do what I can to get everything off of Facebook, any questions or comments that come in that way. But I really have to focus on the calls today. So press 1 once you're on the line. Elizabeth is in the other room screening calls tonight. She'll get your questions and comments. She'll give me a little note and I'll bring you on. It's just like a call-in radio show. Don't get cold feet. We're here for you guys, so press 1 at any time. We will get you on the air. Again, if you're streaming live on Facebook, if you want to call into the show, it's 646-668-2277. We'll be here for the next hour today. So go ahead and get your calls in now. I'm trying to check the Facebook stream here as well and make sure we're up and running okay on that end. And it looks like we are good to go. Trucking with Authority is the Facebook page, and we'll get started here just shortly. I'm waiting for a few more calls to come in and more people to log into the Facebook group. We have several shows on the Audio Road Network. I always start my show to say that this is Trucking with Authority, and I can answer questions from getting started in the trucking business as a driver all the way through pulling freight under your own authority, your own MC number. Well, we have a new show. It's Trucking 101. And so those of you that are new into the industry, check that show out. It's by Rick and Melissa Grimm, Trucking 101. They broadcast live just like this on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Check that show out live. If you have any questions, comments about getting started as a new driver in the industry, your first year out there, that is the show for you. And of course, you can ask those questions here as well, and I'll do my best to answer that. But we can also talk about how to become an owner-operator, how to get your own authority, haul freight under your own MC number. We can talk about brokers, finding freight, load boards, direct customers, going after sales, marketing for direct shippers. We can talk about factoring, how to invoice your customers. That's a big question I get often, is how to invoice your customers. So many people come up through the ranks that they just turn in their paperwork and they get a check every week. And they don't understand that you have to actually bill your customers now. And that's something else that we can discuss here. So if you have any questions, comments, and tonight is all about negotiation. Negotiation takes place in every category. We can talk about negotiation from the time you're a child all the way up until you're on your deathbed, everything in between. Kids negotiate in their own way, from a baby in a high chair that starts screaming and crying because he's hungry, all the way up to, your day-to-day job at work. Now, something that sometimes I think gets lost in our society is that just because you're not a business owner, maybe you're a company driver, that doesn't mean you'll never have to negotiate. When you're negotiating, it's just a form of communication. So if you're working for somebody and you want to ask for a raise, that may require some negotiation. If you're going into a job interview is, that's all it is a negotiation. You're trying to sell yourself and also negotiate why you should be the employee that they hire. That's everything that you do in life requires negotiation. If you go to a fast food restaurant and you might want something done on your hamburger, you don't want onions or something like that, that's a negotiation. And some negotiations obviously are harder than others. Some of them have a few more consequences than others. If you don't get the onions on your burger or you do, that's not a big deal. But when you're buying a house or you're buying a car, you're negotiating for that job or you want that next raise, some of those could be potentially huge negotiations. And we talked a lot about last week, or the last show, which was a few weeks ago, we talked quite a bit about the psychology behind negotiation. And I'll do a little bit of review here. This will be a standalone show as well, but the psychology, everything in negotiation is based on a psychological tactic of some sort, a technique that you can use. And some of those techniques, all of it revolves around communication. And the biggest one that I talked about quite a bit last week was to gather as much information as you can, share as much information as you can as well. You need to keep a positive flow going in a negotiation. Always move forward, say yes. The word yes is very powerful. The word no can put a negative tone to everything that you do from that point on. Always try to say yes. Always stay positive. Sharing information is a way to instill trust, to show the other party that you trust them. If you share your information with them, your situation, where you're coming from in the negotiation, and be open and transparent about it, they will return the favor. Do unto others and they will do unto you. So don't be too guarded on your position and your standpoint. That's something that many people make a mistake on, is they go in and they think that they need to keep their position secret from the other party because they go in with the mindset of a win-lose negotiation. Remember, when we go into a negotiation, it's all about win-win. Both parties should win in negotiation. But in order for both parties to win, both parties need to understand where the other is coming from. So don't be afraid to tell the other party where you're coming from and why you need certain things. So again, it opens up and creates trust to do that. If you want to be trusted, you have to offer that trust to the other party. In communication with other people, you can do that by just sharing the information and creating a friendship, a relationship. And as I said last week, people like to work with people they like. And I shared also the doer, talker, thinker, guardian aspect of personalities. Everybody has their personalities instilled within them on how they communicate with others. Different industries tend to draw different personality types. I'm also in the military, and military people tend to be doers. Very structured, very to the point. And if you're not a doer when you enter the military, they train you to think and be that way. And excuse me, let me adjust this microphone here. But they train you to be a doer. And you begin to think and act as a doer. But then there are more natural communicators, talkers. They're easy to go up and just talk to other people about day-to-day events. Doers don't care so much. Talkers do. Talkers tend to be drawn into sales positions. Talkers tend to be drawn into customer service positions. Then, of course, there are the other two, which is guardians, which are the most limited of all. But they are the ones that take care of everybody. They make sure that everybody is happy in the negotiation, even at the sacrifice of themselves sometimes, which can be a weak point for a guardian. And then there's the thinker. And the thinker analyzes every situation. thinkers tend to be the professors at universities. They tend to be teachers. They tend to be more in analytical type professions and not as much out on the hands-on professions that draw doers and talkers. So doers and talkers tend to be a little bit more assertive and more dominant, and talkers and guardians less so. And so the Myers-Briggs type indicator, and I mentioned that I would post the links last week after the show, and I didn't get around to it. I never really finished the show last week. I had so much more information, but today I'll post that test up on the Trucking with Authority Facebook group. So I'll post that information up, and it's a test that you can take, and there are several out there, but it's called the Myers-Briggs type, or you could just search doer, talker, thinker, guardian. Just do a Google search, and you'll come up with a lot of information on that. But people like to deal with people they like. People like to work with their friends, people that they associate well with. So when you're sharing information, it helps to open up that relationship and open up that friendship, so to speak. Now, a business relationship doesn't have to be, after hours type of a relationship. A business relationship can still be a mutual relationship and beneficial for both parties. So don't get confused. I've been questioned on, well, to form a relationship with this customer, does that mean I have to go out and drink with them and party with them and get to know their kids? In some cases, that may very well help, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you have to do. A relationship is just a mutual understanding of each other and a helpful way to help each other solve goals, solve problems, and reach goals. Now, beyond that, I mentioned to try to prioritize your points and your tasks and what you need out of any negotiation. And one of the things that I mentioned was to always talk money last. There are so many things that we can negotiate on. And specifically, I'm talking on these shows, I'm talking about freight and freight sales and booking your next load. But all of these play into it with everything that we do. Again, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. The number to call in is 646-668-2277. I do have the Facebook app here in front of me on my tablet, and I can see comments as they come in. So go ahead and we'll get all your questions and comments on the air. We have several callers on. We have a lot of people watching on Facebook as well. Again, 646-668-2277. Press 1 and Elizabeth will screen your calls and we will get you on the show. We'll be going strong until 8 o'clock tonight. And again, check out this show and all the others at letstruck.com and click the link to the audio road. I still see more callers coming in as we go. And that's fantastic. It looks like we always have a text message that goes out every week when I do a show, and it looks like the text did not go out today. So callers are lower than normal, but we still have quite a few on the line tonight. So that's fantastic. I'm glad that we have some regulars that know when to call in. And for those of you regulars that call in and expected the show the past couple of weeks, I do apologize, but I've been out on the road and in the shop or working on something business related, and I just couldn't make time for the show. And I apologize. The show is more important to me than anything else I'm doing. But again, it all comes down to priorities. So when it comes to ranking priorities, don't talk money first. When you're negotiating, money is the last priority. It has to be. Because if you don't put it last, money becomes the only thing that you can focus on both sides of this. So the party that you're negotiating with also only thinks about money. Both sides of the negotiation, you're just thinking about the money. None of the other details matter at that point. So there is a lot of things you can negotiate on, such as time, such as pickup and delivery appointments, load itself, the weight, the product, the commodity. You can talk about the equipment needed. You can talk about the distance, traveled. All of these are all common ones. Other things might be the lumpers that might be involved, loading and unloading, possible driver labor. And then those are all just general freight. When you get into more specialized stuff, then you have to talk about pulling permits, maybe escorts, maybe hiring labor at either end, special equipment that you might need along the way. And all of this stuff is part of the negotiation. But if you skip all of that and you go right to talking about money, none of it matters anymore. And there is no more give and take. And you can't have that win-win negotiation that you strive to get. So when you're ranking your priorities, it can help at times to tell the other party what your priorities are. So for example, let's say that you need to get a dedicated load that needs to pick up every Monday. And you know that this load moves every week and moves every Monday night or maybe Tuesday morning. Well, if you can tell the other party that your priorities are to move this load every Monday and it can't wait until Tuesday, and you're transparent about it, the other party will in turn help you to make that happen. Now, it has to be done tactfully. You have to make sure that the other party's not holding something back as well. So, because something like that could be a give and take. Now, if it's something that you're specifically asking for, then they need to make sure that that need of all is met. If that's the one thing that's most important to you, outside of just the money, that's the one thing that you need to be transparent about. It could be dangerous to enter a negotiation like that, to hold off that information until everything else is negotiated on. So now, let's say, for example, you wait until everything else is finished in your negotiation, and at the end, you've got all the details worked out about the equipment you need, the pickup, the commodity, everything, and then they say, well, it may pick up Tuesday mornings every once in a while, and it not on Monday. But you entered this negotiation, and your whole goal for being in this negotiation, for sitting down at the table with this particular customer, was to get this load moved every Monday. Well, now all of a sudden, all your negotiation power is gone, and now you want to throw this out there. You want to say, this has to move on Mondays. If it doesn't move on Monday, I can't make it work. Everything else has been negotiated, so you have no more leverage. There's nothing else to give and take on. So it's important for the priority topics and the priority terms to be thrown out transparent right up front. And that's all part of the good communication that it takes to make sure that these things are done. Now, the other thing that we talked about on our last show was to know your numbers. And I believe I said it just like that. Know your numbers. Know your walkaway point. Know your target. And know your dream point. Know where your range for what you would like to have. Know what those numbers are. Know with absolute certainty that if there is a bottom dollar that you know that for whatever reason you cannot move this load at this point, you need to know that walking in so that you don't inadvertently agree to something less than what you really need. Not what you want, because we definitely want more than that walkaway number, but what you need. But it's not just about numbers. I want to be clear on that. And something I want to clarify a little bit more that we didn't talk about. It's just your terms in general. Make sure you know what you need. Now, in my last example, everything needed to be moved on Mondays. Can't be on Tuesdays. That's something that are your terms. You know that if this load has to move on Tuesdays and not on Mondays, that is a walkaway term. You can't do it. So you need to know that up front. If you come into this without doing the research and without understanding that for some reason you're scheduling conflicts, and in the back of your mind you might think that Monday would be great, but maybe I could do it on Tuesday, and you agree to those terms on Tuesday, then you realize that by the time the load is delivered and everything is said and done, your next load can't be picked up. And so the whole point of this negotiation to get this dedicated weekly run is completely kaput, because now you've just forgotten all about the terms that were your walkaway point. You didn't know what those terms were. So terms are numbers. You need to know your walkaway dollar sign, but you also need to know your walkaway terms. You also need to know your dream terms. Your dream terms on that might be great if it was every Monday at promptly at 8 a.m. and delivered straight through and unloaded with, you know, within 15 minutes and everything worked out perfect with that load. That's your dream terms. And it's great to know that, and it's great to push for that and ask for that in the negotiation. But you have to know what your walkaway point is, which is even more important. And somewhere in the middle there, just like somewhere in the middle for your dollar signs of your walkaway in your dream, somewhere is your target point. The things that you really know that this load is worth. Because remember, money is not the only thing that we're trading of value here. Now, one of the ways to do that and to make sure that you understand is that you have to do the research on all of these things. You have to know what your numbers are and what your terms are before you get started in the negotiation so that you know when you reach those terms, when you reach those numbers. But you have to have the research up front. You have to do the research to understand. Know when your next appointments are. Know how much weight you can carry on your truck. Know how much, you know, all of the details. Know what they are. Know what you need. Know what the lanes pay. Before you enter any negotiation, you should know what, not just what your numbers need to be, but also what the expected outcome might be based on averages from the industry. And you can do all of this research ahead of time before entering the negotiation. Now, ideally, you're going to get as much information on the load as you can in the negotiation, but having it ahead of time and asking questions you already know the answers to is a really good way to understand your position in any negotiation. Now, another point that I want to discuss quite a bit here is dropping the anchor. Now, I said last time, the person that drops the anchor first loses. Now, this is a bit of an exaggeration. And it's something that in beginner negotiations is true. If you're not comfortable and you're new to negotiations, and there are a lot of people that in the freight industry and trucking, as you come up, you're a company driver. You never really deal with customers. You don't do much negotiation. You have dispatchers sending you place to place. Maybe you become an owner-operator, and you have a little bit of choice on how to dispatch yourself and where to go and how to get there, but you never have to really negotiate. You just get to click on that button and say that I'll accept this load, and maybe you call and talk to customers, and might be negotiation over a few pennies of fuel surcharge, something like that, but the real heavy-duty stuff has already been negotiated for you. So when you get your own authority and now you have to negotiate on every detail of a load, now it becomes very difficult and people get uncomfortable when they start talking about money. And when the first person to throw a dollar sign out there, the first person to quote money, to quote the actual value and the dollar amount, the first person to talk money drops an anchor. Now, if you're uncomfortable when you drop that anchor, chances are you're just not going to be aggressive enough. That's why I say when you're a beginner in negotiations, dropping an anchor is dangerous, and the first person to drop an anchor loses. Typically, somebody that's not comfortable, that drops the anchor in the beginning, will severely undercut themselves. Now, I started to talk about this last week, and I don't know if we got some phone calls or whatnot, but I started to talk about how that happens. So let's say, for example, you have that $1,000 mark is your walkaway point, the $2,000 mark is your dream, and the $1,500 point, that's your target, and that's the part that you think this load is actually worth, and you're confident that you can get $1,500. Now, let's say that you are the first person to drop an anchor. You've got all the communication out there, and you're ready. The time has come to start talking about money. If you're not comfortable, even though you know your dream number is $2,000, chances are when you drop the anchor, you will drop it closer to that $1,500 point. Typically, the first person to drop an anchor when they're in an uncomfortable situation will not be aggressive enough. If you're aggressive enough, if you're skilled at negotiation, and if you're willing and you're able to, you would quote that $2,000. You might even be too aggressive and quote higher than that $2,000, which could be dangerous in itself because you might offend the other person. That's the part that a beginner or somebody that's just not comfortable with negotiation feels when they start to quote their own numbers, when they're the first person to throw that rate out there. So the trick to dropping the anchor is to be able to communicate well enough to understand who should drop that anchor. There is a huge advantage to dropping an anchor first. Studies have shown that the first person to drop an anchor tends to have a psychological advantage and tends to land at a number that's closer to their goal than the other. So again, let's go back to that same scenario. You have your walk away and your dream, $1,000 and $2,000. If you're not comfortable, you might underquote your $2,000 if you drop the first anchor. But let's say the other party is very aggressive. They are comfortable and they know that this load, you know, $1,000 is a cheap rate on this particular load. But if they're aggressive enough, they will drop the anchor at $500. Now, the uncomfortable person is really uncomfortable because that's way outside of their window. So if it's way outside of their window, where if they had dropped the first anchor, they might have been at $1,750. Now, they're worried that they might not even be able to get to their walkaway point, and they drop their next counteroffer below their target rate. That's the danger of letting the other party drop the anchor first. It's all psychological. Everything in negotiations is psychological. Dropping the anchor sets the stage for the entire haggling portion of the negotiation. And that's really what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the money. We're going to talk about the point where all of the other details have been ironed out. The communication is done. The terms are set. Now we're ready to drop the anchor and start talking about money. So be aggressive, but be very clear and understand. And in some ways, you need to understand the other side as well. You need to be able to gauge their assertiveness and their aggressiveness with the negotiation. If you feel that they are more aggressive than you, it could be dangerous to let them drop the anchor first. But if you feel you're on somewhat equal terms, that could work. Now, dropping an anchor, being the first to quote the lane, is a way to harvest information. It does set the stage. So if you're dealing with a broker, you have no idea, maybe you've taken this phone call and you're not real sure about the lane, it's a way to gauge the market. Ask them what their target is. Ask them what they're moving the load for. If they throw out a number, then you can counter their offer. But at least you know where the stage is set. But try to always enter a negotiation with more knowledge than the other party already has. Ask questions you already know the answers to. And then when you drop the anchor, it can be a more sufficient and more beneficial number to you. So I hope that's clear. Now, something to remember when you're dropping an anchor. When prices become the topic. If you ever walked into a house and you're ready to buy a house, and maybe you're in just an average neighborhood, the price of the house, the actual price, can be a selling point in itself. Now listen to what I mean here. If you walk into a house, it's in an average neighborhood, the house is in fair shape, but they lowball the price. The first thing you start thinking is, every house in this neighborhood is worth more than that. Why are you lowballing the price? What is wrong with this place? What's wrong with this house? You've just devalued your own house. You've just lowered the bar on what you could have gotten. You've dropped that price. Now, you walk into that same house, and they shoot a number that's so high out of the park, all of a sudden you start thinking, there must be something nice about this house. There must be a reason that this person is asking so much more for this house. It must be worth it. Of course, you're going to haggle them down, but it must be worth something. They think it's worth that price. So setting a price sets a standard for not only the haggle portion, but also the services provided. We've recently had a broker ask us why our prices were so high. We were able to come together on all the other terms, and for whatever reason, they asked us, we couldn't settle on a load because we just couldn't come together on the price and on the money. And they asked us finally, what is it about your fleet that is so special that you demand a higher price? We now work with that customer on a regular basis because we've explained to them why we're worth more. Now we get the rates that are closer to what we actually want out of that customer. We weren't able to come through on those individual loads, and we'll talk about some tactics there as well, but we were able to form a long-term relationship, and now they understand the value that we offer and why. And the reason is because we offered a higher price than they actually anticipated. We set our own value by offering a high price. Being aggressive with your pricing can certainly help in how to make that value stand out. Higher prices tend to reflect the quality. You get what you pay for. Now, the other side of that is, don't counteroffer too low. The whole point of psychologically setting the anchor is to set the stage. We already covered that. So if the other offer is set outside of your parameters, so if you're shooting to get somewhere between that $1,000 and $2,000 mark and the customer shoots back with a $500 opening offer, that will throw you off. Psychologically, you are thrown because their number is so ridiculously low compared to what you're looking for. Don't let that happen. Don't let that throw you. Counteroffer. Reset the anchor. You can do that by countering with what's realistic, with what you want. They do that. They lowball you on purpose, just as you would. You would set a price that's so high, you're lowballing them on their end. They expect a counteroffer. They hope their counter, that your counteroffer is much lower than what you would like to get on this load. Don't let that happen. Be aggressive in your counteroffers and reset that anchor. You're able to do that. Your counteroffer can show the other party just how far off they are from the mark. Your counteroffer can be a wake-up call to them that, number one, you're not playing that game, and number two, they're not even in the market that you're in. So make sure that you're aggressive in your counteroffers as well. Now, finally, and we'll get into more haggling techniques here in just a minute and tactics, always counteroffer. Now, negotiation is a psychological game and communication between the two, but it's all psychological. Anytime somebody throws out an offer and the answer is yes and it's accepted, psychologically there's a problem. A win-win negotiation would have both parties walking away satisfied. Both parties would feel that they got what they wanted out of that negotiation. And that would result in a long-term relationship. So the next load that you bid on, the next load that comes up with that particular customer or that broker, you will feel comfortable. Remember, you're building a long-term relationship. That's the goal to having successful relationships. To make sure that your next job will yield the same fruit as this one. So what happens if you throw out an offer and it's immediately accepted? Think about that. If you throw out an offer, let's say your range is $1,000 to $2,000. So you throw out that initial offer of, okay, I need $2,000. Then the broker says, okay, done. You now leave the negotiation thinking to yourself, I left money on the table. I did something wrong. They're taking advantage of me. I lost that negotiation. I'm a loser on this. But if that broker simply counteroffered you, even if it was just $50, $25, even if they just did a counteroffer, shows that there is some negotiation. And when you leave, you feel satisfied. The same holds true the other way around. If anybody offers you anything in a negotiated rate, always, even if it sets your, if it hits your dream goals, counteroffer. It doesn't hurt. You're just asking for a little more, maybe. But even if they disagree, and even if you settle on that number that they initially offered you, when you leave the negotiation, both of you feel like you've won. The other party didn't think that they lost because you initially took their first offer, and you got what you wanted as well. Always counteroffer. That's a huge point that can always lead to longer relationship and future business. Okay, we're going to get into the haggle. Now, I've said before that haggling can be done between two robots. I could program one computer at $1,000, the other computer at $2,000, and they'll go back and forth 50 cents at a time until they both meet at $1,500 right in the middle. Robots can do that. Computers can do that. Humans do that. Almost every time two unskilled negotiators get into a haggling contest. This happens all the time with Craigslist car sales, for example. Two people that rarely get into negotiations over prices like that. Two people that rarely have that type of a haggle. Now, I'm going to post a link to a YouTube video, which I think is funny. It's from a Monty Python movie, and it talks about how someone walks up to a street vendor and asks for a product. The vendor tells them the price, and they say accepted. And that vendor says, no, you have to haggle. You must haggle. And it's really funny, but it does make a point. Haggling is part of life. And in other countries, it's part of life every day, daily life. But here in the United States, we expect to walk into a grocery store, we see the price tag marked on it, and we pay that price. And we just expect everything to be that simple. Americans, North U.S. citizens and Canadians, North Americans, are weak negotiators because we rarely haggle on anything. And really, the Western civilization is like that. Europeans are often like that too. Eastern Europeans start to get into more traditional ways of haggling. But when you get into the Middle East and the Eastern cultures, everybody haggles on everything. Everything. And it's a way of life there. It's normal. But Americans, especially, feel very, very pressured when they get into negotiating and haggling. So when you get into that part of it, there's some really good tips that can help keep that negotiation from being a computer versus a computer and help things flow in your favor. And it's a continuation of the techniques that we've already discussed. It's a way to keep the psychological trend in your favor. Now, we do have quite a few calls on today. Go ahead and press 1. Elizabeth is screening calls. We will get you on the air. If you have any questions or comments, anything you would like to add, the show tonight is all about negotiation, and I'd love to get some questions or calls about that, but if you have anything trucking related, from getting started in the business all the way up to pulling freight under your own authority, regulations, FMCSA, insurance, record keeping, factoring, billing, brokers, load boards, anything, that's what the show is for. I'm here to answer your questions. I'm going to keep going on the negotiation topic. I love this. I can go for days on this, but I will just leave the show to you and you lead the way. So press 1 at any time. If you're on Facebook, I know we've got several coming and going, 646-668-2277. All right. Now, negotiation, as we've said, is a give and take. You make concessions to get something in return. So let me ask you this question. What is the one thing that is of little value to you that you can give? Think about that. You're in a negotiation, the other party, and you're talking about numbers now. What can you do? What can you do that would make the other person give something? What do you have to offer? And it doesn't matter what you're negotiating on. It can be vehicles, houses, raise, the load, the truck, anything. Let me give you a hint. Little value? How about nothing? You offer nothing in return. It's called the crunch. So here's how the crunch works. And it's all psychological, remember. Now, two robots that don't crunch. One says $100. The other says $200. They go back and forth until they reach $150. What happens if the first one says $100 and the second one says, you'll have to do better than that? All of a sudden, we're not going back and forth anymore. All of a sudden, we have something new happening. The crunch is you are just simply asking for more. You're not offering anything. You're not giving a concession of one of your services or one of your terms. You're not offering anything in return. You're just simply asking for more. And there is nothing wrong with that. This is the one thing that every single person on every single negotiation should absolutely do. Always, always, always crunch. Crunch, 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 and then crunch again. So here's how you do this. The other party says their numbers. Maybe you've already set the anchor, but the other person is counter-offering. You can crunch that too. Crunch everything. Always crunch. So they come back. Let's say that they offer, you're trying to get a load for $1,000. They offer $800. You haven't really started haggling yet. You're not really negotiating there yet. They just offer $800. Just simply say, you'll have to do better than that. Humans are psychologically programmed to respond to that question. Now, if they've taken some negotiation training in the past, they will respond with another crunch. They'll respond with something along the lines of, well, what do you need? What do you want? What did you have in mind? They're crunching you, you're crunching you back. But if they're not skilled, which many are not, especially in the freight and brokerage, crunching somebody will get them to raise their price without you giving anything in return. So you say, they say $800. You say, you're going to have to do better than that. They're going to just say, okay, how about $1,000? So they've just raised their price and you haven't offered anything in return. What do you do then? Somebody on the line, press one, get on here, and let's have a little back and forth on this. Anybody that's willing. Somebody that just raised their price $200. $200, if it's $800 to $1,000, could be a lot. Your target might be $1,200. They've just met you halfway. You haven't given anything in return. They've just met you to $1,200, halfway. What do you do then? How about crunch again? Crunch, 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 and crunch again. Remember that. Always crunch. Crunch is the absolute easiest haggling method and tactic that you can use. Doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't hurt anything. Continue to crunch. So you have a weak negotiator on the other side. They offer $800. You crunch them. You'll have to do better than that. Okay. $1,000. Okay, come on. You're going to have to sharpen your pencil a little bit more. Okay. How about $1,100? You've crunched them twice. They've already come up. What do you do then? Crunch them again. Okay, you're on the right track. You're getting closer. Okay, 1150. Notice every time you crunch, their number is getting a little smaller, a little smaller, a little smaller. That's your clue that they're getting closer to their target. Now you can start to identify. And using the crunch, not only do you get them to come closer to your number without giving them anything in return, but they are also giving you clues of just where their target is. Psychologically, they'll do that. Now, sometimes they will throw you off. Sometimes they'll say, okay, well, you crunch them on 800 and they'll say, 900. You crunch that 900 and they say, okay, 1200. When they do that, that's your indication that they are way off. And they're just trying to play the game of haggling. keep crunching until they won't allow it anymore. Typically, they won't allow it when they are at that point that they can't give anymore without getting something in return. Now, oftentimes they will crunch you. It's an easy tactic. Everybody does it. They will crunch you. A way to counter a crunch is exactly that. Crunch them back. As I said, let's say you drop the first anchor. I'd like to be, notice I said I'd like to be, not I need. I'd like to be, which opens up room for negotiation. I'd like to be at $2,000. They crunch you. Well, you'll have to do better than that. You can say, what do you need? Now, I said I would like $2,000, but you're asking them what they need. That's more pinpoint. What do they need? Now they will give you a number. You didn't give them anything with nothing in return because you countered, crunched them. But now they're going to give you something because they're going to come back to you with another number. And this number, because you said, what do you need, will be much more precise. It'll be pinpoint on what they need. Now there's a trick to that. If they tell you what they need and you get them to fluctuate off of that number, you've just made a liar out of them. If you make a liar out of somebody, all of a sudden, you can throw them off their game big time. So remember that. They tell you what they need, and then somehow you get them to come off of that number, call their bluff. Say, like you said, I thought you needed this. Thought you said you needed. Okay, so here's how this would go. I'd like to be at $2,000. And they crunch you. They say, well, you'll have to do better than that. You counter crunch them and say, well, what do you need? And they think for a minute and they say, well, I need $1,500. Rule of crunch is always crunch again, right? Well, you're not even close. Now they say, well, okay, I could do $1,600. Your next crunch can call their bluff and say, okay, I asked you what you need. What do you need to do this run? You've just come up $100. You said you needed $15. What do you need? All of a sudden, you have made them flustered and you've thrown them off their game. Be careful, because if they get flustered, they could get upset. They could get defensive. But you have thrown them off their game. So the crunch is fantastic. I love the crunch. Use the crunch every time. I tell everybody, if nothing else, crunch them. There's nothing wrong with it. It works. I love it. Now, it's a psychological game, right? So to add to the crunch, throw in some emotion. There's another version of the crunch called the flinch. When they throw out a number, let's say your target is 1,000 to 2,000, but they throw out a number that's within that range, and you ask them the numbers, and they say, well, I'd like to be at $1,000, $1,000? You're not even in the same ballpark. All of a sudden, emotional response. They'll get emotional too, and they will try to make you happy because that's what people do. People try to appease the other party. Be careful not to let that happen to you. But get emotional. Throw them a flinch. It's a great way. A flinch is a great way to be used as a counter crunch as well. $1,000? What are you talking about? Are you serious? Are you even talking about the same load? That throws their game off. Try to get them off their balance. Take their focus off of what they're doing and put it back on the emotional lizard brain that we talked about last time, that puts it on that lizard brain from before. People have a yearning to be liked. So when you throw them off like that, the lizard brain all of a sudden counters and says, okay, I have to try to make this person happy. Now, we've talked about also last week about saying yes. Always say yes. Keep a positive flow. There's something called the Japanese no. Now, the Japanese, wow, it's already 10 of. I can't believe we're flying through this so quick. I'm telling you, this negotiation stuff can go for days. and I have pages and pages and pages more to cover. I'm going to blow through most of these tactics, but I hope you, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and press one. Also, Facebook, Trucking with Authority. You can check out the Facebook group or the Facebook page itself. You can ask questions and comments over there. Go ahead and start a discussion over in that group, and we can talk about these tactics there. I'll participate in that discussion as well. Now, the Japanese are a very noble society, and they do not like to offend anybody. If you've ever, everybody knows the Japanese bow in front of, even in front of their opponents. They bow. They're very polite. The Japanese culture is, they do not like to offend people. So the Japanese will say no by saying yes. It's a tactic in negotiation. They call the Japanese no. It's an ultimatum. A negotiated no is another way that you might hear it called. It's a yes with extraordinary terms. It's a yes that has terms that you would say you can't, you can hardly say with a straight face. If you can say it with a straight face, you haven't said it high enough. So let's say that they throw out a number, $1,000. Your target is 15, dream is 2,000, but they throw out $1,000. You can agree to their rate without saying, or you can say no to their rate without saying the word no, with using a Japanese no, a negotiated no. Say, yes, I could do that, but I'm going to need to be able to run this load empty, or I'm going to need to be able to do this on my timeline. I'm going to be able to need to do this with my labor, or maybe I'm going to need to do this next week. Whatever it is, it's something that absolutely will not work for the load. Ideally, it's something that would work for you. Now, if you're at a point in the negotiation where you're just about to talk to money, but you haven't gotten there yet, this might be an opportunity to do that. So let's say you have some unusual terms. It has to pick up at midnight, has to pick up on a weekend, on a holiday. This is a good time to set that anchor. Yes, I could do that, but it's going to cost you $5,000. But I would need, this is where you try to pinpoint a little bit, I would need $5,000. That's a no, because you know with absolute certainty that they're not going to pay you $5,000. Your target is still in that $1,000 to $2,000 range. You can say $5,000. It is a holiday or a weekend or whatever it is. You could say that number without flinching yourself. But you've said yes. You've agreed. You've given them an ultimatum. Now, this does a couple of things. One, you've said no in a roundabout way, but it also forces them to counteroffer you. So it instills a counteroffer in them. They want to counteroffer you now. You don't want to offend them with this, but you want to make it clear that it's a no. But it provokes that counteroffer. Now, some other tactics that you can use. Deadline is a good one. Use the deadline. When you're talking to a broker on a load, maybe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Load has to pick up by 5. You might be sitting in the parking lot of this particular shipper. But remind them the clock is ticking. Remind them you have a deadline. Even if you don't have a deadline. Even if this load picks up another time, make up a deadline. So maybe you say, well, they're hemming and hawing over a certain price. Say, well, I need to know now. I need a decision right now because I have to get my truck dispatched before his hours of service are up. Hours of service is a great excuse, by the way. He only has a few hours left on his clock today to drive. I need to know now so I can get him dispatched. The driver has to be on the way. You can use that, by the way, even if you are the driver. The other one is limited authority. Limited authority could be you're on the phone. Now, my wife Elizabeth and I, we could be in the truck together, sitting in the seat next to each other. And I could say, well, I'll need to check with my dispatcher. I'll need to check with the driver on that. Limited authority. You can't make the decision without checking to somebody else. What that does is it creates a pressure for them to commit. They don't want to wait. They need to know now too. So you put that out there, even if you don't have to check. Elizabeth could be sitting right next to me. The limited authority is right there. I need to check with her. I need to check with him. I need to check with the dispatcher. I need to check with the driver. I need to check with higher up. Whatever your excuse is, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to check with somebody. Limited authority. You can't do it yourself. Now the other party starts thinking, okay, well, what can you do? What can you commit to right now? It puts pressure to make sure that they make a decision right away. The other one is missing person. Similar to missing authority, but a missing person could be somebody that's not going to show up. So I'll have to check with my dispatcher. That's limited authority. But what if you say, well, my driver is out of reach right now and I've only been given an opportunity to do such and such. This person isn't available to talk to. It's a missing person. Similar to limited authority. You have only this much. Now another, and we will go a few minutes over time, but another good one is the missing person, the blanket statement. So let's say that they throw out a rate, $1,000. You could throw a blanket statement and say, well, I've been running everything out of that area for $1,200 all month. I see on the load board, I see on truckstop.com, on the rate mate feature, I see that there has been several loads already moved out of that area and that lane is paying such and such. That lane is paying $1,200. They've only offered $1,000. Now they're inclined to come up to at least what the average is. But be careful because that does set a precedent. Now a precedent could be more specific and say, I did that load. I did that load for you last week for $1,200. We have to continue doing what we've always done. I have to do it for $1,200 because that's what we did it for last week. You set a precedent. Be careful because you're also setting a limit. Now, limits isn't a whole other tactic, actually. So you could say, well, that particular load, I can't do it for less than $2 a mile. I can't do it for less than $1,000. Or you're setting a limit. Now, when you set a limit, it's you're saying the specifics that you need. And now as I go back from what I said before, you got to be careful with that word need or have to have. I have to have, because if you go back on that, it's sort of like setting the anchor. You can't really go backwards now. If you do, you've just been made a liar. And you don't want to be on that end of it, because now they'll call your bluff. If they're good enough, they will call your bluff. So you can say, we can't do it for less than such and such because we did it for such and such last week. You've set a precedent. You've drawn the line, set a limit. Another tactic might be an emotional appeal. An emotional appeal could be something along the lines of, well, I could do this load for you, but, I was trying to get home. It was my son's got a baseball game this week. It's his, finals this week. I promised him I'd be there, but I could do it for you if you threw in an extra $200. It's an emotional appeal. People like to deal with people they like. Play on their emotions. It works. Now we're wrapping up the show. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I'll throw out a few other quick techniques. Now I mentioned before last show about a BATNA, best alternative to a negotiated agreement. It is best to enter a negotiation having a backup plan, having a plan B. Now, we have just a couple minutes. Let me remind you all, if you have any questions or comments, if you want to get on before the top of the hour, I will try to get you on. So go ahead and press 1 now. If you get your button pressed here in the next couple of minutes, I will get you on tonight. And so having that BATNA. Best alternative to a negotiated agreement, plan B, another option. So when you call on a particular load, you got a load going from point A to point B, you know that you could also go from point A to point C, which is just as good for you, and the rate might be $1,500. You'd rather go to point B. Their rate's in the $1,200 range. You know that your BATNA is better than their offer. You can tell them that. Like we started the show with, be transparent about what your goals are in your positions. Tell them. Now, obviously, if your BATNA is not as good, you don't want to tell them. But the tactic of using competition, you could say, well, I have two other loads that I could book today, and I could move them, you know, well before I even have to pick your load up for such and such. You're not the only game in town. I can do better. I can do other things. You have competition. If you would like me to move your freight, you can pay the terms that I'm asking. Not always just money. Remember, terms are a lot of different negotiated agreements, but you can pay my terms or I can go to your competition. Competition is a good tactic to use to get the other party to agree. Now, let's say that all of that has worked for you. You're just about to wrap things up and you're pretty much in agreement. Maybe you don't have rate confirmations yet. You're agreeing with the rate. You're in the ballpark, but there's just a little more that you'd like to have. You can use a tactic called the nibble. This is a great one. The nibble is just as important as the crunch. The nibble is just at the end. You're just about to say yes. Nibble a little more and say, well, what if I could do it? I think we've got a deal. And you are going to throw in that $75 detention, right? You've agreed. The other party has agreed. You're throwing in that one last bit. They could say yes, they could say no. It doesn't affect your decision at all. You'll do this either way, but you could ask. You're asking for more without really giving anything else, just like the crunch. But in this case, everything else is done. You'll throw in that little extra, right? A good crunch, by the way, on a side note, a good nibble, by the way, is to ask them to shorten their payment terms at no cost to you. That's an excellent nibble. Yes, I could do it. Everything works. This load looks great. If you can waive your 3% quick pay fee, we've got a deal. Everything is agreed. The other party's ready to go. All they have to do is waive their quick pay fee. Now, that's of little value to them. They're going to pay you your money either way. They want to make that extra 3%, but 3% is peanuts. They'll throw that in maybe. Quick pay fees are a great nibble. It gets your money faster, avoids factoring fees, avoids other things. Throw that out. You've got a deal. That's a great one. Try to nibble on that. Now, let's say that your whole negotiation has come close. You're just not there yet. You just can't quite close the deal. And I'll close on this one. Just can't quite make it. Imagine two people sitting down across the table negotiating. The one party decides, let's say you're buying a car. The one party decides, you know what? Everything looks about right, except for a couple of terms here, and we can't come to an agreement. If you can do this, we'll settle the deal. Basically a nibble. But in this case, it's a nibble that you can't do without. It exceeds your walkaway point. You get up and you walk away. But when you do that, leave that offer on the table. So make your final offer, make your final stand, hang up the phone, walk out of the room, whatever it is, and let it be. And if it's close enough, if their offer is good enough, they will call you back. Give them some time, and if it's a load that you really want to do, give them some time, and if their offer is close enough and you do this tactfully, if they don't call you back, don't be afraid. If given enough time, if you've thought about it, call them back. Leave it on good enough terms that their offer would still be on the table. If you call them back, obviously, they've set the anchor with everything that they've already offered you. You might have a deal there. But if they call you back, you might have a few more things that you can negotiate on and get a little bit better deal. So don't be afraid of the walkout tactic. That's the closing tactic that I'll give you. With that, everyone, thank you all for calling. Thank you for your support. Check us out, letstruck.com. Click the link to the Audio Road. Check out all the other shows. Trucking 101, the brand new Audio Road Network show with Rick and Melissa Grimm. Saturdays at 8 p.m. That's a great precursor to my show here. If you're just getting started in the industry, they have all the answers for you. If you've been with them for a while and you're thinking of moving on, Check me out as well at Trucking with Authority. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Once you're in the industry and you're trying to learn the rates, learn the lanes, and learn a little bit more about how to run your business and be more profitable, check out Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. with Rico Muhammad. He does the Rates and Lanes show. You can also learn about a little bit more of the trucking lifestyle out here and try to be in better shape and be more fit with Destination Health, with Kevin Rutherford himself and King Cockerham. And they are on Wednesdays, I believe. They've changed their time a couple of times, but check them out also on Audio Road. And if you have questions about your truck, the truck itself, tires, suspension, your truck is pulling left or right, check out the Rolling Tow Show with Mike and Kevin Beckett on Sunday nights. Also on the Audio Road Network and throughout the day, nearly every day of the week now, there's an Audio Road show on. Kevin Rutherford does record his Sirius radio programs. And if you would like to call into his show, you can check his out. Text the word LISTEN, L-I-S-T-E-N, to 99,000. And you will get text when every one of these shows comes up. With that, I will leave you. Thank you all for joining me. Remember to aim big, aim high, dream big, strategize your plan, and earn your success. Have a good night, everybody.